Okay, bounce dryer sheets can't do it all. But for fresher, softer, better laundry, put a sheet on it
with bounce. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM in HD1 San Francisco, on Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union.
This is Malcolm celebrating, and you're listening to Signing Guru.
You can have some competition tonight.
Opening night, drop the puck! Yeah! God, I wish we'll be at the veranda.
They'll have that game on. They'll have the Sharks game on.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, we can watch both.
Yeah.
Well, we won't have to either because the Niners game, I'm sure the Sharks start at 7.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Stir! What unis? I'll find out. Hey, you read a text that bothered me.
Yeah.
And then I got a question for you.
Okay, which one first?
The one about Seattle.
Okay. You want me to read it?
Yeah.
It's from the Comcast Business text line.
Thank you.
Guru, you were on the record saying Seattle wins. Now you're in Prize Picks saying the 49ers win. Take the 3.5.
Go.
Hold on. So which is it? LOL. Posse in Pleasanton.
First, all black voices don't sound alike. Warren Moon picked Seattle. I never picked Seattle. I picked the Niners, and that's what you got from me. You didn't hear me say, Seattle can't win this game, and I don't believe they should, but I'm glad you read that, Stoney. Warren Moon picked Seattle.
I got to go back and listen, but I could see.
I didn't bet on the Niners all season long. I wouldn't pick them to lose to Seattle. Just lost to the Giants at home. Ran the ball 7 times. Good God.
All right. What do you want to ask me?
Your phenomenal question this morning about the benefit of the doubt. What if I told you I got a problem with a team that just was in the Super Bowl and the caliber of the Niners needing the benefit of the doubt this early? They shouldn't be needing the benefit of the doubt this early.
They've needed it before. They've gotten off the slow starts before. So.
Yeah, but not with this $30 million receiver and a hotshot quarterback.
They're even better now. So.
We'll get in the end zone tonight. It starts tonight. And I was just saying, damn, we need the benefit of the doubt right now. But the fact of the matter is, the way they're playing, they do.
Apparently so. Let's go to Mad Dog. Mad Dog's in San Mateo. Let's get us going. What's up, Mad Dog?
Hey, how's it going?
Going well.
Good, shiny.
Yeah.
Hey, I think, back in the Bill Walsh days, I'm a little, I'm showing my the gray hair on my chin right here, but, it was us against them, and maybe this is going to be the game where we see all these guys gel, because they have to. You got the outside linebackers, Flanagan Fowles and Campbell out there. They got to really perform. And I don't know. I just think this could be it. Maybe the preseason is finally over. I don't know.
Yeah, I could see that. Maybe they just need some motivation because the season's now 5 games old and they got to get on the move.
Well, don't ask Fred Warner for it because he ain't giving it to you, Stoney. He said they should need no damn speech.
And they don't use those often in pro sports. That's really kind of Mighty Might stuff, Little League stuff, pep talks.
So I guess
that doesn't really work consistently on the professional level in any sport.
So I guess the cameramen for all the national outlets that show football and they show the guy, the guy giving the Newt Rockne speech, and it's incredible.
Post-game.
No, they're pre-game.
I've never seen a pre-game speech.
You ain't watching.
They're not.
People
cameras
know
aren't
what I'm
in.
Talking about.
Cameras aren't allowed in.
And they're
pre-game.
Like, come on, and they're yelling. Remember Jameis was eating
saying
his fingers?
Saying come on isn't really a motivational speech.
Fred Warner is usually the one that gives them.
Exactly.
That's probably why he does
exactly.
Exactly.
Completely, bud.
So he's sending a message today.
Yeah, saying, yeah.
They're ready. This team is ready.
Oh, man.
Although, we had Ben Solak on yesterday, ESPN senior reporter, covers the NFL. This was the one that really got my attention when we started talking about the 49ers offense. And maybe they're going to have an issue until and unless McCaffrey returns.
Huge difference. It's very different, especially if you look at the time frame in which they had Christian McCaffrey, the middle of the 2022 season to now. We've talked a lot about what Kyle's good at, what his bread and butter is. Oh, under center, and they go play action, they get yards after the catch. And he's been evolving away from that for quite some time now. But even still, in the previous years, they were a pretty heavy yards after the catch team. at this point in the season, no quarterback has fewer yards after the catch than Brock Purdy does. Brock Purdy is also leading the league in what we call ADOT, average depth of target. When he throws the ball, he's throwing it further downfield than all other quarterbacks in the league. This has become a spread, drop back, and isolation passing offense. That's kind of what they're that's how they're attacking teams right now. It is not dissimilar to the change that Sean McVay made when he had Matthew Stafford as quarterback. And he said, okay, we're going to go and gun a little bit more. We're just going to kind of get five in the concept, and we're going to expect our quarterback and our wide receivers to be able to beat their guys. And so there's been a big stylistic change in the way that this offense attacks the passing game, and there's been some really cool moments from that, and there's been some drawbacks to that as well.
Man, that was a hell of a soundbite.
I know. Boy, that's one of those where, I don't know, I always like to, how are you feeling after a soundbite like that? Do you feel like, I don't know, does it feel like your reputation takes a hit on soundbites like that?
So I don't know what you're talking about, but Niners are looking like a Big 12 offense. They're spreading.
What's concerning is, 4 years,
the Yak brothers ain't sipping. Maybe this is on Debo and Ayuk, man. Thank you, Evan. They ain't sipping, man. Where are yards after the catch?
Do you find it ironic that, you know, I've worked with you for 4 years and you've been saying this team needs to throw the ball downfield more. And lo and behold, they're doing it and they stink. They stink. They're 2-3. Get back to the running game. You know what? We overvalued these position players.
I mean,
we paid Ayuk like a number one. He's a 2.5.
Not yet. I'm still not off the wagon.
But 49er Debo, fans, what do you think about that?
Yeah, quietly, Debo, you need to start producing, man. Ayuk and Debo.
Here's the other thing.
Damn.
Listen to the beginning of my main man, Ben's. Because I said, hey, is this different? Is a little offense a little bit different?
Huge different. It's very different, especially if you look at the time frame in which they have.
So he's saying, he laughed. Well, of course, it's much different, Steiny. You even watch the games. I guess you don't. Yeah, this offense has evolved. It's not what it used to be. Without McCaffrey, they're non-functional.
That's the case.
Why can't we just put the rat on the? Oh shoot!
What happened?
Well, Evan's taking a call.
Please, we can go ahead.
I like to do it with a sound effect.
You say it, and I'll do it.
Okay. Now I forgot. What
put the rat on the table.
I got to put the rat on the table. The weaponry's overrated.
Like, you're laughing?
No, I'm not.
I'm going to give you this, the consistent burger, because you have never thought highly of the weaponry like I have. But I got to tell you, man, the more I hear Warren said Debo. I have been giving him a pass.
Well, it's because he's a star.
No, because he's done it before without McCaffrey. So what's going on? And then Ayuk, that's a whole different thing. But, man, there is no Hennessy being poured with these two wide receivers because there's no yards after the catch.
That's because they've changed their philosophy, according to Solak. They're throwing the ball more. If you throw the ball more downfield, your yards after catch are going to be reduced. I mean, that's pretty basic to me. You throw a ball to a guy out of the backfield and he gets 20 yards, well, that's 20 yards yak.
And what did
you
throw it 20?
You throw it down to Ayuk 16 yards down the field, he catches and gets tackled, that's zero.
Well,
I'm not saying it's bad.
Ayuk's 53-yarder. What was it, 15-yard pass? He turned the corner and went 35 more yards.
That's one.
But no, I'm saying it can happen that way. So we saw Ayuk do it that way.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the 49ers right now are explosive?
Now,
I don't. I can say it. I don't think they're very explosive.
Because we've got five games of non-explosive plays. But, Stoney, I don't think you would have your chest out before the season
started. Right, if they're 4-1.
No, before the season even tipped, we thought they were explosive.
They are. That's the only thing they are. I think that's what Solak is saying, is that they get chunk plays, they get big plays, but once they get backed up, they don't convert. The only plays that they make are explosive plays.
I call an explosive play like what gets you into the end zone. To me. I mean, it was an explosive play. Ayuk's 50-yarder.
Right. Even I don't care how he got it. He got 15 and ran for the other 38, but it's still 53 yards.
That's fine. But those are kind of an anomaly to me. Maybe I'm wrong. Brian's in Arkansas. What's up, Brian? How you doing, man?
doing pretty good, man.
What do you got?
Talk to us.
Oh, you know what? Hey, Brian, let me put you on hold because we got to take a break, but I'll get right to you on the other side. 888-957-9570. Download the free Odyssey app and check us out on YouTube and Twitch, powered by First NorCal Credit Union.
Devo has a special package.
What do you know about Kyle's growth?
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, if you're looking for a place to watch the game tonight, come join Guru and myself at the Veranda in Concord. We're going to be there from 4:15 to 6:15. Definitely going to catch the first half there. Probably the whole game, because I'm not going to want to miss any of it on the drive back home. So if you have no plans, you're planning on coming to the Veranda, look forward to seeing you. So Greg Cosell was on with the afternoon show yesterday, and we had Ben Solak on, and both of those guys really got into some nuts and bolts with the 49ers offense and defense. But I want to focus on Ben Solak. I'm going to play the sound that I played, and by the way, 888-957-9570 to jump into this conversation about what's going on with the 49ers offense. But this is Ben Solak. I just played it, but I'm going to play something additionally after.
Gear's different. It's very different, especially if you look at the time frame in which they had Christian McCaffrey, the middle of the 2022 season to now. We've talked a lot about what Kyle's good at, what his bread and butter is. Oh, under center, and they go play action, they get yards after the catch. And he's been evolving away from that for quite some time now. But even still, in the previous years, they were a pretty heavy yards after the catch team. To this point in the season, no quarterback has fewer yards after the catch than Brock Purdy does. Brock Purdy is also leading the league in what we call ADOT, average depth of target. When he throws the ball, he's throwing it further downfield than all other quarterbacks in the league. This has become a spread, drop back, and isolation passing offense. That's kind of that's how they're attacking teams right now. It is not dissimilar to the change that Sean McVay made when he had Matthew Stafford as quarterback. And he said, okay, we're going to go and gun a little bit more. We're just going to kind of get five in the concept, and we're going to expect our quarterback and our wide receivers to be able to beat their guys. And so there's been a big stylistic change in the way that this offense attacks the passing game, and there's been some really cool moments from that, and there's been some drawbacks to that as well.
All right, then here's the additional part of that from Ben Solak, NFL senior writer at ESPN.
But I do think that a big, big, big part of it is the absence of McCaffrey. McCaffrey was just the amount of stress that guy put on the defense just by being in the huddle, right? And you didn't know if they were going to come out with Kyle Juszczyk on eye formation and McCaffrey dot in the eye, and they're going to put Kittle in the formation, and Juwan Jennings is going to block. We're going to be condensed, and we're going to run the ball, and we're going to be physical. And then the very next play with the same personnel, they could be in five wides, they could be in empty. And McCaffrey's motioning, and he's breaking off corners and linebackers on routes like that. That level of unpredictability is impossible to replicate with Jordan Mason back there, who just does not catch the football, run routes the way that McCaffrey does. That hurts Debo, right? Because now Debo is getting less targets behind line of scrimmage. Debo is getting less of the easy stuff because they're not screwing around with him in the backfield and McCaffrey out wide. That hurts Kittle because Kittle's not getting the same free releases on these little delayed, it's a running play, and then I'm going to leak out to the flat and run for 35 yards. You took a very critical piece out of that Jenga tower, and it's starting to shake a little bit. So I do think both explanations are valid. I lean a little bit heavier towards the McCaffrey side.
All right, so that was Ben Solak, very detailed analysis on what he thinks is going on with the 49ers offense. And there's another person who just says McCaffrey being on the field changes everything.
Yeah.
So how do you adjust without McCaffrey?
Well, it's Kyle's job.
I know, but I'm just saying, what do we try to do if with no McCaffrey?
Debo was successful with no McCaffrey before he was even part of this team. So I don't know how you wouldn't try to go back to that portfolio and still, if Mason's back there, they tried it, but it's not one of those things where Debo is off limits because McCaffrey's not in the game. That's a Kyle Shanahan issue. And when you get labeled the genius or the Jedi and graded play design and scheme, Stoney, I know it's a big deal, but it's not impossible. So Are you telling me just from hearing that that you think that's why we're seeing a lack of production from Debo because there's no McCaffrey? I think Debo would cuss you out and say, no, that's not it.
I don't care if he cussed me out.
Well, like, I'm just telling you. I'm just asking you about your opinion.
I told you. I think.
But whose job is it to get it fixed?
Well, sometimes you can't fix it, is what I'm saying.
Well, you better.
Well, they're going to try. But what I'm saying is, if you put more stress on all the other offensive players, maybe they're not good enough to rise to the occasion. Without McCaffrey catching the ball or having the ball, like, if he's not going to have it 20 to 25 times and he's not going to play at all, I'm hearing that defenses play it very differently. So what the only thing you can do is give those carries and touches to other players who are playing, right? And they're not as good as McCaffrey.
And I don't think that's the job, to be as good as McCaffrey, because you're not going to win that battle.
You're right.
But somehow you got to free up or devise something to where you can get the offense across the board. But I'm not sitting here telling you, Stani, or walking out the studio today because there's no McCaffrey, Debo can't get off. Like, I don't think that's acceptable. Now,
well,
does
they
that
don't.
Make,
I mean, do you want to, like, seriously, I mean? Do you want to start running Debo 10 times a game till McCaffrey comes back? Because that's what they did.
The eight times
back
against they did it against the Jets. He had eight carries.
But
and then, I came in here crying.
Well, then we're going to get into they got to be careful about Debo's usage because he doesn't, you know, he doesn't want to run the ball 10, 12 times a game if you need him to.
And I guess my greater point is, I understand the impact of no McCaffrey, but Stani, until we find out if or when he's coming back, it's on Kyle and that offense to get the guys that are out there going. So yeah. Juwan Jennings' emergence, that has nothing to do with, you know what I'm saying? He's getting off and he's off to a good start. No, nobody's even bringing up McCaffrey.
Well, I mean, like,
he's doing
like
his job.
Jennings had a great game. He had a three touchdown game. So he had a great game. But let me just ask you this. Through five games, do you think the 49ers offense is explosive?
No, I can't. No?
I don't either.
Right.
And that's all I'm saying.
But I guess why I'm passionate, Stani, and I'm not saying you're not, is I still think without C-Mac, you got enough. And those are the answers. Those are the questions that need to be answered. So when you give them the benefit of the doubt, I take that as you're like, goo, they're going to fix it until McCaffrey gets back.
Yeah,
starting tonight.
I think they are going to fix it. But I can't.
It's got to be with those guys that people are doubting, though. Debo, Ayuk.
Right. And yes, I think they'll get it fixed. I think they'll end up having a pretty good year. I think they'll make the playoffs, but I could be wrong, and Debo could not. Maybe Debo's not going to have a great year, and maybe Ayuk isn't as good as we thought, and maybe Kittle's lost a little bit of a step.
Yeah, and Evan mentioned them being explosive. I agree, but just think about something through five games. Stani, 20 quarters. The only touchdown that Debo Samuel has is a rushing touchdown. And Ayuk hasn't even seen the end zone. So maybe I need to call them out on the carpet. Whatever you guys are trying to do, you got to be better, just you two alone. Because how the hell are you going to be explosive and those dudes got one touchdown between the two of them? And how long are we going to keep saying for Ayuk, I'm talking to myself, how long are we going to keep saying you weren't in camp? Like, something's got to, you know what I mean? Something's got to change.
Well, actually, you want something to change, but it doesn't have to change. They might not be good enough this year.
And that's the scary part, man.
Yeah, I think things are going to change too, but they don't have to change. They're not going to change unless the 49ers do something about it. But, to me, yes, I think they're going to get it together at some point. They're going to win 10 games. But it's possible that, because I don't think the team we've seen in five games so far is the team we're going to see in the next five.
Yeah.
Now their competition gets better, so we'll have to throw that into the mix.
But if I, again, going back to Debo, just because now I'm honing in on him, Stani. So you're telling me Mr. Touchdown was McCaffrey, and rightfully so last year, and all of a sudden they had to share, and he was getting the majority of the pie, McCaffrey. Now you come into the season, and again, Debo this, Debo that, all off season. He's in shape. He's running fast. Watch out. And you're telling me without McCaffrey, my man has one touchdown? Like, that's not whatever's going on, and I don't know, but I know what we're watching, the 29th ranked offense in the red zone. Like, think about, I would tell Debo, bud, what's, you should be eating more.
Don't
and Ayuk.
But what have we, like, what has been Debo's rep in the league?
He was a Swiss Army knife.
See, I think he's not a great route runner. So maybe you're paying the price for that now because McCaffrey's out. And maybe he can get away with not being precise when McCaffrey's playing. I don't know the answer. I just know that Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, without Christian McCaffrey, have not played well.
And do you think if...
And yes, I think there's something to the fact that now they have more attention on them. They have...
That's scary.
Well...
No, I'm that's saying because Kyle out. Might pull up on us right now, Stoney, and say, hey,
who?
I'm call- so Kyle Shanahan, I'm calling the stuff, they're not getting open.
Of course, that's what he's going to say.
Mm.
But it doesn't it doesn't matter. If it's not working, it's not working. Let's go to Daryl in Alameda. What's up, Daryl? How you doing?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey. Doing well.
Okay. Goo, I'm serious. You're my boy, but I got to put you on the witness stand. I'm serious.
Okay, I'm on
it. You sound like such a hater on these receivers. I don't know if you're not getting the chicken, as you say it, or what, or you just, I don't know what it is, but let me ask you a few questions.
All right, go ahead, brother.
Who has the best hands on the team?
Brandon Ayuk.
Who runs the best routes on the team?
Brandon Ayuk.
Who throws the ball to the receiver?
Brock Purdy.
Who is the person that comes up with the scheme on the game?
Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan. Have you ever seen a receiver throw the ball to itself and make a play?
Nope.
So if you're not scheming for the ball, you may be the second, third, or not even an option. So you keep criticizing the receivers. The receivers do not throw the balls to themselves. They are not scheming the balls to themselves. Brandon Ayuk is the same person that he was at the beginning of the season.
Okay.
He was not getting involved in the plays because he wasn't schemed to.
Now,
Jennings got off because they were scheming the ball to him.
It's more complex than that, man. Football, you don't just drop back and say, I'm going to throw it to Jennings, I'm not going to throw it. Purdy's got guys bearing down on him, man. Let me rebuttal because you asked me five questions. I've been Team Ayuk all offseason. Did I think he did a bit too much publicly? Yes. I've talked about how good I think he is. But for you to call here, and I'm not saying you don't make valid points, and say that Brandon Ayuk has been perfect this season. Now you're caping for Brandon. He's dropped many a ball.
I didn't say he was perfect.
Well, you sound like it. You sound like it. And now, let me just finish and I'll be done. You sound like you're saying Brandon and Deebo aren't getting off because Purdy's not giving them the opportunity. And I feel like more now than ever, they've gotten the opportunity and they're not making the plays. How is that hating?
Okay, let me ask you this question. Brandon was getting off in the first half of our previous game, right?
Okay, gotcha.
Why did he only get a handful of touches the second half?
He was killing the defense.
Huh? Absolutely killing them. And all of a sudden, ghost. It's not... Oh, man.
No, I hear
it's
listen.
Not, yeah.
Do you?
Brandon is.
I wanted. Like, I was just going to double back and ask him, Stoney, do you think he was going down the avenue of, do you think they pulled the plug on Brandon having a big day? Because that's where he had to be going. Obviously, Arizona did something to take him away, you know? But that's a Kyle question. Well, not hating. I'm the one that said these dudes are studs.
I think what he meant is that the 49ers went away from Ayuk for some reason in the second half.
Right. Could that have been – and I'm just – not. That's a Kyle question, but Stoney, could it be as simple as they put more attention on him?
Of course.
But he was about to say – it was a decision that the Niners made, like it was something they wanted to do and take away from his big day. And I don't think that's fair. That's all.
Well, I mean,
but man, don't call and act like I haven't been giving Debo and Brandon. I'm the guy that said the weaponry was up there with the best of them in the league. Come on now. But it's becoming abundantly clear, and I'm in denial. Stoney, maybe they're not doing their job. Where's the PFF? Are they getting open? Well, he got open the first half, and I don't have the answer to that question of what happened to Ayuk the second half. But I know what happened to Debo the whole game. What's happened to him the whole year? Warren Moon called him out or just said, where's he at?
I mean, if you're going to throw a pass and you've got a play that you've designed, clearly there's a first option, a second option, and a third option. So if a certain guy's the number one option most of the time, he's probably going to get the ball more than the other guys, I would think. So it's, you know, I don't know who the primary guy is from play to play and what they're looking to do.
Yeah, but it's not, and again, he insinuated that Juwan Jennings was getting off in the game that he did, Stoney, and making big catches because before the ball was snapped, this is how I took the call, they're looking for Jennings. They chose him. No, it don't work that way. Brock Purdy is back there trying to find who's open.
Right, but he's got to go through his progressions.
Right.
And if the first guy who gets the look probably has an advantage getting the ball, I would think. But
and to me, that would be Ayuk if he's my one.
Well, not if he's getting bracketed.
Or he wasn't in practice. But, man, I hate that I'm sounding to anybody out there that I'm calling, that I'm saying Ayuk. I'm just, come on now. We need some production from number one and number 11.
And we need production from, what's Purdy's number?
13.
13's got to be better. Leroy in Oakland.
Our guy.
What's up, Leroy? How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, Steiny? Hey. What's up, Goo, man? I wish I could be out in Concord today. It's one of my favorite cities, but I got to work. But, hey, listen, y'all know I'm a lifelong 49er fan. You know, always say, you know, Steiny Guru, man. We got history, man. And, you know, some of the stuff I've said, you know, I've been on my own self about. You guys will get on me sometimes about. But, you know, I used to say, you know, Kyle Shanahan's style of playing, you know, gets the players hurt. I used to say Kyle Shanahan, you know, teams are like, hey, when we play the 49ers, the way Kyle Shanahan coaches, if we can just stay close, the way he coaches, we'll get it in the end. We'll win. And it's funny, right? I have a 25-year-old son, and it's fun watching games with him because I remember when I was 25 in 1995 watching games, I hung on every play.
Yeah.
I hung on every play, and it's fun watching him. And I had to school him against when we played the Rams and when we played Arizona. And in the second quarter of those games, I looked at my son. Now, I'm a lifelong 49er fan, and I said, son, we're going to lose these games.
Mm.
And he went crazy, what, Dad? And I kept on going, and I kept on going, and I kept on going, and I kept on him. And at the end of the game, we lost those games. And I told him why. I said, because teams come in, and they go, hey, the way Kyle Shanahan coaches, our star receiver can have over 147 yards. Our rusher can have 100 yards. You know, these guys were having star games, and it's an indictment if you look at some of the numbers from the receivers and running backs from those games. Any other team wins those games with numbers that Jennings and these guys were putting up against Arizona and the Rams. But I knew they were going to lose because I'm sitting here, I sit there season after season after season and watch Shanahan coach. It is the most predictable coaching that I have ever seen. Of course, teams are going to go, yeah, he's going to come out and throw it because, you know, he doesn't have McCaffrey. And what does he come out and do? Purdy has 35, 37, I don't know how many attempts. Continue to do what you do and run the ball. Stop being so predictable. Teams know he's going to run it on first down, probably going to run it on second down. I looked at Kansas City, came out with like four straight plays to different tight ends. And we have a great tight end core. It was tight ends all the way down the field. It was halfbacks, fullbacks all the way down the field, catching teams off guard. So Kyle Shanahan's predictable coaching, man, we saw this before. And I said to my son, we'll make the playoffs. Don't worry. I'm with Steiny. Anyway, we'll make it. But it's when we get to the playoffs when we're going to have to worry like always.
Wow.
Thanks, Leroy.
Tell us how you really feel. I don't think he's giving Kyle the benefit of the doubt. He's assuming playoffs, Steiny.
Yeah, I'm not assuming playoffs.
Oh.
I think they're going to make the playoffs, but I wouldn't assume it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't assume anything, but I think they will. I'm not, like, assuming means I feel very strongly about it. I think they will.
Yeah, but the funny thing about it is, again, they didn't show up and were down 13 early. The one constant is they have leads and they evaporate.
Yeah, you know.
So we can't get on his neck. I'm on his neck for not closing, but the theme to me, Steiny, is being they have the leads, and for whatever reason, they go away, and I'm looking at you, partner, and I mean this. Gosell kind of, I don't know what happened to Ayuk the second half. It's equivalent of a basketball player having 28 points at half and ending up with 35.
And somebody goes to the locker room, in the other locker room, and the coach says, who's going to guard this guy? Do we have to send a double team? I guess we have to send a double team because we can't let this happen for the second half. And then that's when you got to make an adjustment, I think, if you're the other team. The one thing I'll say, and here's where I disagree with Leroy, is I don't believe teams are saying, let's stay close because the 49ers will give it up at the end.
Mm.
I think teams look at the Niners and they know that the Niners have been the best team in the NFC for 5 years. And
right,
because they're the best team in the NFC, or have been, that teams do what all teams do. Let's keep it close and see if we can win at the end,
right,
because this team's better than us.
Well, the 650 backing you up on the Comcast business text line. The caller is just incorrect, Leroy. It's not predictable. It's just like you said, Ronnie Bell, you got to catch the ball.
Yeah, I wonder if he's talking about the play calling.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm talking about. I don't look at the Niners thinking it's predictable. You don't have this much success being predictable.
Well, I'm talking about this year.
Oh, well.
I mean, this year has been a little bit different.
Yeah.
888-957-9570 is the number. We get more into the 49ers on the other side. We'll play some more Ben Solak because he went into as much detail on the 49ers defense as he did the offense.
And I'm going to ask you, who scares you from Seattle? I know Kenneth Walker III didn't get as many totes.
Metcalf.
Lockett. People sleep on him, too.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. Question we're asking 49er fans is, are you giving them the benefit of the doubt? They've started slowly before, and they've turned it around, made the playoffs, and been able to make a run. I'm not talking Super Bowl victory right now, but are you giving them the benefit of the doubt that they're going to turn this thing around?
Mm.
I have to.
Okay.
Because this track record, to me, has to mean something. And I do believe, and maybe people would say, well, you wouldn't say this about another team. But, yeah, you ready? I don't even like using this term. They pissed away two games. They should have won.
Mm-hmm.
They just did. They couldn't get a stop, and they couldn't get
Thompson
a score whenever they needed something. And so maybe we're closer to success than you think. What do you guys think at 888-957-9570? What's coming up next on the game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. That segment brought to you by Robert Half.